Stagg. Robert Livengood.
This is a project for Robert Livengood, current application requesting authorization to construct a 5-foot by 66-foot finger pier, a 17 by 41-foot open-sided boathouse roof, which would constitute a second boathouse roof at this location, and to construct a 5-foot by 13-foot finger pier in association with a jet ski lift. His property is located along Cypress Creek in the town of Smithfield. Cypress Creek is a tributary to the Pagan River, and his residence is at 906 Talbot Road, again in the town of Smithfield. Orientation topographic map. The project's located in this bend of the river. This is the town of Smithfield. Smithfield Station is located right along here. Windsor Castle Park, if you're familiar with Smithfield, is in this location. And this is a residential neighborhood along this reach of Cypress Creek. And this area over here is mainland developed in a marsh. A closer view again, the location is right in here. This is an aerial photograph, kind of giving you a out view of the entire area. This is the existing boathouse of Mr. Livengood and associated pier. The proposed second boathouse would be on the inshore side of this boathouse. You can see some detailed drawings of that shortly. A little background on this project. In 2004, we did get an application from Mr. Livengood seeking to replace an existing pier and boathouse at this same location with a new open-pile private pier, some L-head, some finger pier, and a 62-foot by 24-foot open-sided boathouse. He subsequently submitted revised drawings which requested a slightly larger open-sided boathouse roof of 74 feet by 24 feet to accommodate two wet slips. The commission did approve the application as requested for the dual slip boathouse. In 2006, we received a complaint from a nearby neighbor. We did do a compliance check and revealed some discrepancies with the as-built structure. Specifically, the square footage of the pier exceeded the authorized previous dimensions by a total of 63 square feet. Mr. Livengood did request to retain the structure as constructed, and the matter was subsequently heard at the commission hearing, and after full public interest review and a hearing, it was approved by a vote of 8-0, subject to a payment of a civil charge, and the amount in your packet is in error. It was $250, not $2,500, as your packet suggests, but that was a $250 civil charge. That was paid, and the after-the-fact authorization was granted. So that brings us to the current application. Again, there's a close view. This is a drawings from the previous application and boathouse. Again, as you can see in the aerial photograph, it matches that. This is the large boathouse and the second slip, and then some L-head and finger piers and jet ski platforms and or a list for those. This was the cross-section of view at that time for the larger structure. These are application drawings from the current application. Again, the existing structures are all here. Mr. Livengood is proposing to add this finger pier to create this wet slip, a small finger pier here with a jet ski slip between the two finger piers, and then a proposed roof with the dash line over the new slip. Cross-sectional view. And you'll note the roof structure here. The existing roof, as you can see, is oriented in this direction. Both slips will be the same orientation. In other words, you'll come in these slips from downstream direction in. But this roof will actually be oriented in the opposite pitch, even though the entrance will be the same, which is why you see the way this drawing is. This is the long roof that's oriented with the pitch in this direction. pitch for this one actually faces straight back towards the shore. Mr. Livin could expound a little more on that, but his rationale at the time that he expressed to us was that he believed this was more aesthetically pleasing. It would not be any higher than the existing boathouse roof on the structure that's already there. So it's a little bit kind of funny the way it's oriented, but you'll enter both of them from the offshore, I mean the downstream side. We have subjected this to a public interest review, and subsequently after that, we did receive some objections to the project from nearby and adjacent property owners. First, Ms. Barbara of Richardson is an adjacent property owner. The other two protestants are not exactly adjacent property owners. I'll explain that a little bit further in another slide. The general objections from all three parties include the size of the proposed structure, a belief that this could potentially devalue their property values or diminish resale values or ability for resale, and that other nearby waterfront properties also have too many structures along the water, and that there may be some adverse impacts to tidal wetlands. In her letter, Ms. Richardson also noted that the applicant's pier and other piers constructed along this area since 2006 have adversely impacted her view shed. Ms. Richardson owns this property here and does have a pier and boathouse roof. Windsor Castle Park is to the left. You can't see it in this photograph, but this is another private pier. Windsor Castle Park now has some pier structures as well that she mentioned in her letter, that she doesn't like those either. But she lives here. Mr. Cradle's objections include view shed impacts, potential reduced property values, and a general adverse impact to the natural beauty of the area. Mr. Cradle's property is located here behind these trees. He does not have a pier. He does not own to the water. The Gills' objections, and the Gills own two properties in this area over here. One of them does have a pier. Their objections included some concern about our notification process to adjoining property owners. I'll address that in a moment. The excessive size of the existing structure and the proposed structure versus those that qualify for the statutory exemption in the code, and whether the joint permit application had been filed, which of course it has, the impact to her view of Cypress Creek, potential adverse property value impacts, and the potential for conflict with pier construction by adjacent landowners. Staff is unaware of any direct correlation between property values and piers constructed along this reach of Cypress Creek, and staff or the applicant themselves notify the adjacent property owners of any application along the waterfront. Ms. Richardson was notified as an adjacent property owner because she does own down to the water at this location. Now, this is oriented a little different. North is now facing this way, but I did it this way so you could see it a little better. This depicts generally the marsh that is owned as a separate parcel, but Mr. Livingood actually owns this in addition to the residential lot that he owns. This marsh was retained many, many years ago when the land was subdivided for trapping purposes and has changed hands, and now Mr. Livingood owns this section here. Some of these upland property owners have easements in their deed to cross this area, and some do not. This is a drawing provided by Mr. Livingood that we just received this week, depicting those lots that are immediately in this area. Again, Ms. Richardson owns here, Mr. Cradle, then the Gill lots, one of which has an easement, one doesn't, another adjacent lot that has an easement but no pier, Mr. Livingood, and this lot also has an easement but no pier. This one has an easement and a pier, and this one has no easement. I believe there is a pier there, but I won't address that issue. That's between Mr. Livingood and the owner. This also has distances to the existing piers that are in existence. It's 106 feet from the existing boathouse to this pier, which emanates from the Gill property, and 96 feet to the nearest pier here. And Ms. Richardson's pier is not shown here. It's off, but it's approximately 500 feet away. Again, Ms. Richardson was notified as an adjacent property owner. And again, Mr. Livengood owns the marsh, so therefore the Cradle and Gill properties there are not adjacent waterfront owners but water view owners. Our public interest review process does include publication in the local newspaper, and we believe that that in addition to, I believe, Ms. Gill was contacted by Ms. Richardson or an adjacent property owner. We believe that is adequate notification. That is what's required by the code for a joint permit application. We also note that the additional pier and boathouse structures are proposed entirely over subaqueous lands, would be for private use or of open pile design, and therefore the impacts are limited to shading from the structures, and it doesn't appear that any of the proposed structures will actually be over tidal wetlands. They'll all be over subaqueous land. While the applicant has not yet purchased a boat for the new slip, and I'll clarify that, he actually has a boat, the existing boat that he wants to put in this slip, and he would like to buy a new boat for the larger slip because he has sold the boat that was in there. So a little clarification there. But regardless, we believe that he has indicated he does not want to purchase the larger boat until he's certain that he's going to get a permit for this other boathouse so he can move the boat he has into that and then put the large boat in the and I think he'll address that to some degree as well. And that will be addressed in our recommendation. No other state agencies have commented on this project, and there is no workaround along this section of Cypress Creek. It's all downstream. So that comes to our summary and recommendation. I will also note that Mr. Livengood did provide this document, which is signed by three adjacent waterfront property owners upstream of the project. So they are the next adjacent properties going upstream beyond where he owns the marsh, and they have signed this saying they don't object. So all of the adjacent properties upstream. There is an adjacent property owner to Mr. Livengood that is not a waterfront. He's the immediately adjacent property owner of Mr. Livengood on the downstream side, but he doesn't own to the water, and he has not objected as well. While the existing pier and boathouse are already rather large, they were previously authorized by the commission based upon the applicant's existing vessels at the time. Since no maximum size limit for boathouses has ever been established by the code, projects are reviewed on a case-by-case basis. In instances where an applicant presents sufficient rationale for a large open-sided boathouse and where the waterway appears to support such large boathouses, which we believe this would, an associated vessel without significantly affecting other uses of the waterway, staff has often recommended approval of such structures. We generally do strive to assure that the boathouse is no larger than is reasonably needed for the stated vessel, but believe that an open-sided design only minimally adds to any visual obstruction over that presented by a boat already moored under the boathouse roof. Localities do have the ability to regulate boathouses through their zoning ordinances, and we believe they are better positioned to evaluate aesthetic impacts of such structures. We also believe the proposed boathouse is reasonably sized for the vessel Mr. Livengood states he intends to purchase. We believe that his desire to secure approval for a boathouse prior to purchasing the vessel, we understand that desire. And we also believe, however, that it would be appropriate to have some assurance that Mr. Livengood is actually going to purchase the stated vessel or a similar sized vessel prior to construction of the boathouse. And in essence here, we would want some assurance he was buying the larger boat for the large boathouse, so he can move the existing boat he has into this proposed boathouse. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering all the factors in Code Virginia 28.2, 1205, subsection 8, we do recommend approval of the project conditioned upon receipt of a bill of sale or some other appropriate documentation from Mr. Livengood verifying his purchase of the vessel stipulated in the application or another similarly sized vessel. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions if you have them. Mr. Livengood is here. I'm not sure who or how many of the protesters.
So, Ben, a couple of questions. To clarify, the roof of the proposed structure will be no higher.
That is mine.
No larger than the existing. And whether or not the proposed structure is approved, can Mr. Livengood still place a vessel in that location without a permit from us?
It's more a vessel adjacent to that existing boathouse with no additional authorization.
And that in itself presents its own obstruction of view if you want. He could do that without a permit.
Of course, he can continue to use the large boathouse and put a boat in that.
Mr. Schick?
Yes. Can you go back to the, 310, the layout of the proposed? Where are your pointer?
This one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this jet ski here, that was here, right?
Yeah.
And he's moving it here, and then he wants to build another catwalk here.
I guess he can address. I don't know that he's moving it. I believe he may have more than one jet ski. But everything below this line is existing, and everything to the north of this line is proposed. So this finger pier and this finger pier to create this lip and then the roof.
And staff feels that this catwalk is appropriate for a jet ski?
I think, and he can address this better, but I believe he would like this for access and for the davit. I assume he's going to have a davit
right. In
the lower. I don't think he wants a davit over here where he's
right. Going
to walk out to the other pier.
Okay. I'll let him explain a little bit more on that. Okay. That's good.
Any other questions? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you just clarify what approximate size vessel is going to be going in that new structure?
I think the existing vessel he has is 33 feet.
Okay, and thanks.
50 foot is what was in the larger.
Right, okay, thank you.
Mr. Plummer?
That answered my question.
That's it. Any other questions? All right, let's hear from the...
Here's in your packet, number 8. You asked for additional information about the boat. And he provided information on the existing 33-foot boat.
Where is that information?
Packet.
Number 8.
The last sheet.
33-foot Spectra.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Limegood? Let me swear you in before you get started. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Robert Limegood. I'm the applicant on this pier project, and I guess the biggest thing with the neighbors and all have been the view situation, and what I'm proposing is not going to block any more view or any less view than is already blocked with the current boathouse and pier that's there. The roof probably will be a few feet lower. The boat that I have now to go in the new additional slip, and I have pictures of it, the sides are only a few feet tall. It's a power boat. It's not a big cabin cruiser. It's long, but it's low to the water. It's a speedboat, and that's what's going to go in there. So that boat's not going to be a view blocker at all, no more than what's already blocked at the present time. I guess the other question was the jet ski finger pier, the additional 12-foot finger pier. My son, which is soon to turn 16, he's started riding the jet ski. And it's really kind of hard before when we had it on a davit to pick it up and set it on the pier. It's kind of hard to maneuver. So by putting in the 12-foot of finger pier in there, it's actually in a slip similar to a boat lift. And you can actually walk around it, get it washed, get it flushed, and get the cover on it. So that was the reason for the extra 12-foot of slip. If this is approved, I would really like to build this. I am going to Fort Lauderdale in November. I am actively looking. I've had a big Sea Ray. I've been big boating for a lot of years. I'm going to buy another one. It's going to happen. But as a lot of you know, big boats are expensive, and I'm not independently wealthy, so I have to find the right deal. There's plenty of them out there, but I have to have the right deal to be able to make that work. But that's going to happen. If it wasn't going to happen, it would be no need for me to spend the extra money to build this slip. It would just be pointless. But we do want to do that. And I would like a little more time. I understand the receipt thing, but I really would like a little more time because I am a marine contractor by trade. But as my workload kind of dictates when I can work on my own pier. So if this is approved, it's not something that I can do overnight. I have to be able to work it when I can get to it to do. And buying a new 50-foot boat, I really don't want to have to put it in a marina and incur that extra expense when I have a slip that it can go into.
Ben, you weren't suggesting that we hold off on the permit until the vessel is purchased.
Well, I think that was our initial suggestion, but I talked to Mr. Livengood again yesterday, and possibly a suggestion would be at least some type of contract document showing an intent to buy, but that's really up to the commission how you want it.
Okay.
One other thing to keep it brief, the hill on all of Cypress Creek into there where the houses are actually located is approximately 35 feet above sea level. The existing boathouse roof now, from where you're standing in any of the yards around there, is lower than the existing ground level. We have pine trees all over the whole subdivision that are 50 or 60 foot tall. So, I mean, really, the boathouse is really a small view blockage compared to the actual upland and the trees that are on all of the existing properties. So, that's about all I have.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Do you have anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of the project?
I think my wife does.
All right. Mr. Fox, did you have a question?
I had a question. When you get your new boat, you intend to keep the old boat?
Yes.
Both boats.
I didn't intend on that happening, but that kind of happened. And my son and I run these poker runs and charity events and stuff with the boat, and I really would like to keep it. In fact, we have one this weekend out of Waterside, so I really would like to keep it. I guess I'm glutton for punishment with two boats. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Livengood? You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so off you go.
Thank you. My name is Melody Livengood, and Commissioner Travelstad and members of the commission, thank you for letting me speak. Just to let you know a little something about us, my family is from Smithfield, and we have been in that existing home that we're living in since about 1991. And I would like for you and for the objective people to know that of any people, my husband is very concerned with the environment and with keeping ourselves neighborly. Just to let you know that we have been very good friends with our neighbors, Jim and Carol, who live to the left of us. And certainly we did not mean to upset anybody or object, you know, have anybody object to this or block anybody's view. And again, we do choose to keep this other boat because we do charity poker runs. We're doing one for Susan Komen this weekend. We did one for Shriners Hospital weekend before last. And I think that's a way for us, for the love of boating, to give back to our community and to charities. And we do choose to buy a larger boat. Our parents are elderly. My mother and father are 80. His parents are soon to be. And we would like to purchase this boat because we do travel 10 days, 2 weeks at a time and take our families. That's how we camp. It's no different than somebody parking a large RV in the roadway or in their driveway. We happen to choose to park it behind our house so that we can travel with our families. And we want to purchase this boat to spend time with our families. And the only way to do that is to be able to keep both boats and have that. We would, in the past, when we had large boats, and we've had several, we did more than there. We've kept them at marinas, but again, we choose for our families who are in Smithfield to be able to bring them down there so that we can spend time with them. And so I would just like to say that, again, this in no way was meant to upset our neighbors in any way, shape, or form, and we are very concerned with the environment and with the marsh grass behind our house, and in no way, shape, or form would we do anything to damage that. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any questions, Mrs. Livengood? Thank you. Do we have protestants here today?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Come on up. How many others wish to speak on this matter?
Two others.
Okay. Ms. Richardson, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Barbara Richardson, 156 Talbot Drive.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Mr. Sags indicated pretty much most of my complaints in regard to the erection of the second pier. And I just wanted to add that in regard to neighbors, some are more affected by it than I am in terms of the view. But my concern is that the disparity, really, in that much boatness does impact and will impact property values. I do not have a zoning report on that. I do have a property appraiser who said to me when I questioned his valuation of my property, he just referred to the neighborhood in some way detracted, you know, lowered my property value. So I wanted to show you some pictures in regard to the audience can see. But we have smaller ones. Can you see?
No. Can you all see those? Ben, could you maybe just hold those up? Yeah, that works.
This is a view starting from my pier, which is the west, moving around to the Salamanca's pier, and these two piers on that side, which apparently from the society report, these people don't object. Can you see it? This is, these are more of those two piers, which are more of the norm in terms of a residential area pier. This is Mr. Lavender's pier.
Ben, can you turn that a little bit? Thanks.
That's the on front view. This is a side view. And in this pier, you see their friends next door, the ones that are not objecting. That's their home. And this one shows you what you see when you drive into their driveway. That's Mr. Lyons' pier.
Into whose driveway?
In the river, the next door neighbor.
Okay.
They're not objecting because they say the Lyons is a good neighbor. Which I'm not saying they're not. But this is their backyard. Such that when their friends come to visit, they think it's their pier. And this is their backyard. So, basically, this pier kind of cuts in front of lots of people's houses. When Mr. Langley came to me the first time, which was my experience with being the adjacent property owner, I said to him when he showed me the sketch, it looked like he was going to take the whole east view of my house. And he said, no, no. But it did. And then there was another pier, which he doesn't know, but that Greg Blakos, Mr. Lambert, built a pier. That's a 1,000-foot pier to the right of me. And then Windsor Park built three piers to the right of me since I've been there. So that's my main objection. And then after my initial objection, Mrs. Lavender came and said, but pretty much what she said today in terms of this, did not want to upset me. But she also said that they may be leaving in 50 years because Mr. Wilson's done graduate. So that would leave us with two marina-sized piers in our neighborhood. And that's basically my concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. Richardson? Mr. Plumley? Ms. Richardson, could you stand at the podium because we're taping this and we want to make sure we get your comments.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Richardson, but if you could show me the photograph that is the best view from your home, I want to make sure I took note of the right one. Are any of them from your home?
Yes, this one. These are from the water.
Does your home show up on any of those photos?
Yes,
Linda, you might. Linda?
Yeah, just put it here.
Yeah, help her out there.
Okay. That's the very first one. Okay.
Right.
And that's directly that across?
That's not showing my pier, which is down the foot of that hill. And the pier you can see to the right of my house is the Gill Pier.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
But do you have a picture from your house
seeing the
present pier, what it looks like from your yard or your house?
That's from the east of my yard.
That's from your property, then?
From my property, right.
And that would be looking to the left from your property?
From the back of my house.
Mm-hmm.
From the east side of my house.
It's a pretty good view of it. She has a pretty good view of it.
You're now scanning around. This comes around a little bit more.
Yeah.
To the right.
To the right.
Treehouse. That tree right there to the left of the treehouse right there is a little closer to my grass. And that's my
That tree is on your property?
Yes.
And that is your pier? That's the
Gill Pier.
The Gill Pier.
And then there's
Lavender. Okay.
Ms. Richardson, we're going to have to keep copies of those photographs for 30 days.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next? Mr. Cradle?
Cradle?
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Let us have your name for the record.
Michael Cradle.
Thank you.
This is a picture of the pier from my backyard. It probably lowered my property value $10,000 to $20,000. I'm going to read a letter that I wrote of when I first heard about this in April. My neighbors have brought to my attention the intent of Mr. Livengood to build large additions to his pier and dock located in the Cypress Creek area of Smithfield. By reducing the view of the creek, the present pier and dock arrangement greatly decreased the value of my property and the other surrounding properties. Any further enlargement would have a compounding effect of negative property value. Any prospective buyer of the affected properties would diminish their offer by tens of thousands of dollars. The house is next to the Livengood property. The people that are not here would most likely see a lower value in their properties of $30,000 to $50,000. It goes across their backyard. The reason they're not here is because they're elderly. And I think they're intimidated by the situation. To my knowledge, none of the board members who approved the initial structures have actually seen what has taken place other than looking at drawings. But I've later learned that the former VMRC head, I think his name was Stephen Bowman, he's actually a neighbor down the street from the Livengoods. I believe that the deciding board members need to ask themselves, if you had a neighbor act like this, building a structure that reduced your property value by tens of thousands of dollars, how would you feel? These structures, which are so costly to the area, are simply not used in a manner to justify their existence. I'm forced to watch this sad state of affairs every day. If there is anyone that does not agree with my assessment of the situation, please come down and take a look yourself. Have any of you seen it? How would you like that going across your backyard? That's all I have to say today, and it's just sad how the general aesthetics, the natural beauty, and the property value of several homeowners for so little gain to one small family. And the people that have signed off on the new project, they're not affected by it. They're on the other side. They're just not affected by it. There's a couple of families where this goes close. I'm the fifth house down. The two closer houses, the people that live there, they're elderly. They're totally intimidated by the situation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Chick?
You've made a claim that and given a dollar amount on how much this has devalued your property. Have you had an appraisal or any study done showing?
No, I have not.
So this is.
I believe that.
So this is your personal opinion?
My personal opinion.
You do not have an expert or any type of study that shows that personal that your value has dropped. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
I don't.
Thank you very much.
But anybody.
I understand. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Palmer?
You referenced several times about the elderly neighbors being intimidated by the situation.
Yes,
what,
sir.
In what way are they intimidated?
Well, they live next to the Live and Goods, and they're just afraid to say anything.
Why?
Because they're afraid of what would happen to them next.
In what way? What has happened
decreasing their property value.
What has happened to them in the past when you say what will happen to them next? Anything happened to them in the past?
They have that pier going across their backyard.
I understand that, but any physical intimidation?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Mr. Robbins?
My question's been answered.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. Who's next?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mrs. Gill?
I'm going to speak on behalf of Mrs. Gill.
Okay.
My name is Joanna Baker.
You swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Good morning, Commissioner and members of the Commission. Orientation. My parents, the Gills, own this parcel as well as this parcel and had easement rights to construct a pier, which is this location at 900 Elk Shop. Mrs. Gill prepared a letter to BMRC, to Mr. Stagg, back in March 17, 2012, after she had learned from an adjacent neighbor that there was going to be a proposed construction of an additional boathouse and here at this location. And it raised some concern because she had indicated some disapprovement of the existing boathouse. It was much larger than she had ever anticipated, and it did pose some restrictions to her view shed. This is the view from their parcel. And as I mentioned, the pier is on the adjacent property. She owns that house too and rents that out. But this is from the top of the hill from her existing. And you can see that most of that boathouse was struck for upward view of the creek of Cypress Creek. And I was concerned that an additional structure, based on the drawings that were presented, I'm not an engineer, but it seemed difficult from the angle that the new roof was going to be constructed and tie into the existing boathouse, that if it's the same height, how you'd get that angle without going higher because of the size and the orientation that they proposed. So I think initially the thought was it's going to be the roof going to be higher, but it's going to block our attention to be. I wanted to show a picture. I'm not sure I'll be able to zoom in. This was prior to construction of the existing boathouse. There was a boathouse, and you can see how much smaller that was. So since a lot of this has been living there, they had this boathouse.
Can you point to the one you're referring to?
This one.
Okay.
And then they've constructed the existing boathouse that's there now, which is this one, which has gotten much larger and has changed the angle. The previous boathouse went out straight towards the adjacent bank, where this one runs parallel to the bank. This is not the scale, but I was showing the end of the gill pier in relationship to the existing pier and where they perhaps have their proposal to put in the other structure. In Mrs. Gill's letter, she asked a few questions that some have been addressed, but I think some have even led to more questions. If you look into the subaqueous guidelines, there is a statement that states private piers may also include an attached boat lift and an open-sided roof designed to shelter a single boat slip or boat lift provided the roof does not exceed 700 square feet. And the adjoining property owners do not object to the proposed roof structure. So in Mrs. Gill's initial letter, she had questioned the dimensions. There was a discrepancy. I think that's been corrected now based on the joint permit application that we viewed. But this new structure is slightly less than 700 square feet. At what point do you consider this a separate structure? Because the response letter we received from Mr. Stagg indicated that it's a separate boathouse being constructed, but it's going to tie into the existing roof. So if you add an addition onto your house, that becomes one structure. So I guess I've would ask for clarification on what is that 700 square foot limit?
The description that you've given, tell me if I'm wrong, Ben, are the standards. As long as you're within that standard, there's no permit required. So you're free to do that without permit.
And I did hear
if you go beyond that, you have to come before the commission if there are objections to get a permit, and that's where we are today.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. And I had asked, listen here this morning, Mr. Stagg had indicated that there was no maximum limit on those structures that each would have to be presented to the commission.
That's correct.
For review. The question that stands now is, what's to stop the applicant from putting in an additional boat slip in the future, in the near future? There's got to be a limiting factor there because of the cumulative impact that it's going to have on that watershed and the viewshed for those neighbors. Another concern is, as has been mentioned by a couple of individuals, a lot of the people that live along here are elderly. They've been there for over 50 years. Both my parents are in the 80s. It's not so much how is it going to impact them, but even additional owners of that property. You may have an individual purchase that property 10 years from now and want to construct a pier
or a boathouse, excuse me, at this location. Is that going to impact their ability to construct a boathouse because of the adjacent boathouses along that creek. And as mentioned, the individual, the neighbor that's not protesting this, they're not going to live there forever ever either. So the next homeowner would not have an opportunity to even build a boat house for them, or here, because it's going to connect to the existing one that's there now that the lot is. So the concerns are not so much, yes, is it aesthetically pleasing? No, it obstructs some of the view. But how is that going to impact future development along that creek? Is it going to prohibit other landowners from possibly putting in a pier or boat structure that they would want to put in? And is it also going to just open a gateway for him to construct another, or put in a request to propose, excuse me, to put in another boathouse in the future? One thing that was mentioned on Mr. Stagg's slide, less than a mile and a half away is Smithville Station, which has a marina. So there are other means of storing a boat that are right behind your house that would not be that much of an inconvenience to go a mile down the road. So those are some things we'd like you to take into consideration.
Thank you. Other questions from the commission? Seeing none, thank you. We're going to have to keep those photographs again. Ben, can you put the one showing the view back on the screen for just a second?
That's the old one.
It's a larger. It was a larger one. And just you can leave that there and appreciate it. Thank you. Are there any further protestants who wish to be heard today? Seeing none, Mr. Livengood, you have a couple of minutes to respond to any of the complaints that you've heard. And when you come up to the podium, I wonder if you could sort of outline on that photograph where you believe the roof line of the new structure might appear. And you might have to just walk up to the screen and
The roof line will be no higher than the existing very top of the pitch now. It probably will end up being a little bit lower because it's going to have to be less pitch because it turns a different direction. There's no need for it to be that high for a 30-foot boat versus a 50-foot boat.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Plumley?
I'm sorry to interrupt his presentation, but is it the roof line, it's coming towards this view?
Yes. From my neighbor's standpoint, it's not going to look, they're not going to be able to tell a difference in the width of the pier. The pier is just going to get wider. So it's coming this way, well, the slip's 12 foot and the finger pier is 5 foot. So it's coming 17 feet to the inboard side of the existing pier.
Okay.
If I could, I would like to address a little bit about my neighbors next to me. I guess if my neighbors are elderly, I'm getting pretty close myself. So I don't ask people their age, but I would assume that they're no older than 70 years old. I have a very good relationship with my neighbors. If somebody on VMRC wants to call them, they're welcome to. They've never been intimidated by me. They bring us vegetables to our house. And, in fact, Mr. Gerger came over yesterday, and he asked me if I would apply for him up here. So the worries that my neighbors have about my immediate next-door neighbor, they're not going to have to worry because I am going to apply through VMRC, through Ben, for them to have a pier permit on file whether they want to build it or not. That's going to take place. They've asked me to do that for them, and I told them that I absolutely would do that. We just heard a comment about could other people add on to their piers and stuff. What I've tried to explain is most of the people other than Ms. Richardson that are complaining do not own the marsh behind their house. I went to Mr. Gill, who owns the two houses that are in question here, and I explained to him, even though he was not an adjacent property owner, I went to see him because I've known him for – I built his pier. I built the pier next to mine there, the long one with just the L head on it. I built it. I've lived there 23 years. And I explained to him at the time when I saw him, I said, Mr. Gill, you have a 20-foot wide easement. Your pier, and Ben can correct me on this if I'm wrong, his pier right now is 16-foot wide, the L-head. So 4 more feet, and he's encroaching on my riparian rights again. I said, I will have the lawyers draw you up a new easement for 35 foot wide, so there's no argument whether a boathouse can be constructed here by your kids, if you sell the house, whatever. I want people to be able to enjoy the water. And I said, but in return, I just, you know, what I'm doing is not blocking any more views than it's blocked. I just don't want you to complain about what I want to do. And I won't hinder you on what you want to do. And I was doing that free of charge. I said, the only thing, if there's legal fees, which I'm not an attorney, if there's legal fees incurred to record that deed, which I assume there would be a few hundred dollars in legal fees, you pay that, and I would give you an easement so a boathouse could be constructed on your pier, which in turn increases their property value, which in turn helps my own property value. And no mention more was ever made of that, and next thing I know, they protested. But I tried to be neighborly. I tried to give away, because quite honestly, the marsh right there is not making my property any more or any less valuable. I'm not going to put a pier 100 feet down from my house. That's just not going to happen. So,
thank you.
I do have one question. The boat that you're proposing to purchase, this is a 33-foot vessel.
I have that boat right now.
That's a 33-foot vessel that's in the photographs now?
Yeah, that's in the big boat slip, and I want to move that to the small slip that I propose to build, and I'm going to buy another Sea Ray, which is in one of the other pictures. Yes, sir.
And the Sea Ray you propose to buy is a 50-foot vessel?
50-foot, with the platform maybe about 54 feet.
And that would fit with room in this current boathouse?
That's what it was originally built for. I had a 44-foot Sea Ray in there that I had there for 7 years. It's a 50,000-pound boat lift in that boathouse, and that power boat is nowhere near that kind of weight. That's why it's kind of pointless to leave it in that one, and that's why I want to move it to a smaller lift. This is Mrs. Richardson's house, who was the first person to protest. Her views looking at my house, looking at my pier, are from her house here, way over like this, all the way to here. I don't really know. I really was kind of amazed when I got a protest from her because of the great views that she actually has. The next protest was Mike, and his house is up in here in the tree line. He has a 10-foot wide easement to build a pier here. He's looking way down this way too, when he's looking at my dock.
We're looking at the water.
He's looking way down this way when he's looking at my pier.
Sir, I can't have any outbursts, please. Go ahead, Mr. Livengood.
But the one that the people seem to be worried about the most is my neighbor right here. And there is, like Ben stated and showed on the drawings, it's 106 feet in between here and here. And my neighbor is going to apply for a pier. Everybody seems to have been worried about my neighbor. They are going to apply for a pier. They've already asked me to do it for them. So I am going to do that. There was a statement made also about my original boathouse that I built. I've had two piers here. I tore the old one out because when I bought the big Sea Ray, it would not fit in even between the pilings. This boathouse now, as you notice, is turned. My other boathouse was straight out. And the reason I could not construct this one straight out, the town of Smithfield has, and it was there when I bought the property, there's a culvert pipe right here that runs all the way up from the main street in Smithfield. And when it rains, it's like a waterfall coming out of there. Well, what it's done, it comes down through the marsh. The water flows through this culvert pipe down through the marsh under this pier, and it's created a flat right here. There's plenty deep coming in this direction. That's why I had to angle the boathouse. That's why it was angled initially. I mean, I would have put it back in straight, but it just wasn't enough water, and I don't think the town was going to dredge it when all I had to do was angle it. When it was angled like it is now, I went to see my adjacent neighbors here. They knew all about it, and they know about it this time, and there is room for them to build a pier, and I'm going to make sure they at least have the permits to build a pier.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes. What is that
box?
Right there, that little protrusion off the corner.
That's a little small deck area off the end of the pier.
Okay, and in some of these photographs, it's shown as an extension out behind your boathouse, a low extension. Have you got another photograph?
That's right here.
Yeah, it's a little extension.
It was part of the original.
It's part of the original, yeah.
It is a little platform, and you have a jet ski.
Okay, are you going to use that? Is that?
I do use it. I hate to take. I use all of it out there. I go out there. I'm out there every day. I hate to take any of it down, and that's not really. I don't think it's the issue of a view situation. That's actually on the opposite side of the.
Visually, it adds length to your pier.
Right. Right. Well, I'd say it's still between, for my neighbor, there's one other easement in between my pier and the Gills pier. That easement right now is to my immediate right, the house to my immediate right, which is this one here. This house has a 6-foot wide easement, which means, Ben can correct me if I'm right or wrong on this, they can build a pier out that's 6 foot wide and that's all they can build. And I've told them they can get it changed. Mm-hmm. The same thing I told the Gills. And they can have a 35 foot wide easement, so a single slip boathouse, a deck, and a walk around could be built, not charging them one thing to do that. Mm-hmm. Because, like I say, I want people to be able to enjoy the water, and they want to go ahead and apply to have that option to do that.
Thank you. Matters before the commission. We've heard from you, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Matters now before the commission. Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of the protests that we've heard today revolve around viewshed impacts, and I think we need to consider those. We also need to consider the relative scale and size of the proposed structure relative to what's the vessel that's going to be put in that open-sided boathouse. I think given the fact that this is a larger than average size structure for a residential pier, some additional scrutiny of that is warranted. But I think we've heard today that there's going to be a 33-foot boat in that structure. I think the proposed dimensions are not excessive for that size vessel. They're appropriate. I think most of the impacts to the view shed that would result from this project already fall within that area that's impacted. If you consider the line of sight photographs we've seen today, the additional work on this structure will fall within that already impacted area. So I don't think there's going to be a significant additional impact from that perspective. I appreciate the concern of the adjacent property owners. We've heard that it could adversely impact their property values. I don't see a specific basis for that today. In fact, a lot of waterfront property owners will want to own waterfront property and place a great value on that just so that they can keep and store a boat there. The ability to wharf out that's provided for under the state code is one that brings value. Having said that, around the state, there are certainly some unsightly structures that were not permitted recently but permitted a long time ago or predated the permitting process. I don't think this is one of those. So I don't see it having an adverse effect on properties. I think we do need to consider that, but I don't see a basis for that impact here today. So I would just rest with those comments.
Other comments, Mr.
Chair? A lot of this type of discussion we've had here really belongs on a county level. The county is the one that says what kind of piers, what kind of boathouses can be built. There is no state code that gives us the power to pick and choose size and whether somebody can have a boathouse or not. It's all related to whether the boathouse is excessive for the size of the vessel, and I think this case it shows that it's not. His intent is to buy a vessel that will be appropriate to the size of this boathouse. And this is a unique situation. Most times we're seeing neighbors that have waterfront property. These neighbors have water view property. And as we all know, there is no right, no riparian rights for water view property. View is something that you have. Water view is something that you have. It is no right to obtain and keep water view. If they had waterfront property, this issue would be more germane to the situation. So this is different than most situations we've ever seen by the fact that actually the entire waterfront is owned by the applicant. With that, I'd like to make a motion to approve the permit as requested.
Is there a second to the motion to approve? Seconded by Mr. Palmer.
May I be heard? Yes, before there is
absolutely.
A vote? Because in this instance, actually, under the code section, we're asked to consider the effect on adjacent or nearby properties. And I believe it's obviously an issue of view. I think value, we have not been presented with any expert testimony on value, so I'm not really considering impacts to value as much as it is just to enjoyment of their property for the adjacent owners. That's what I'm really looking at. And I think this is an instance where we're right on the cusp of, is this project too large for a residential area? He has a couple of very large vessels. I think the applicants are wonderful people. I don't have any problems with them. I kind of disregard testimony about, you know, intimidation and those sort of things. I think these are very nice people. But I think we're on that cusp of where we may, in a different context, be completely against a project like this. So I want us to, you know, consider that. And I think everybody is considering that. I think it is important the way staff presented this, that if they commit financially to the vessel, then approve it. I think it is important this instance to tie any approval into that, and I would be for that. But without that kind of commitment, I would not want the construction to go forward. And I don't know how we do that appropriately, but that's my position with regards to the vote on this particular project.
Ben, do you have any suggestions how that might be done?
Tony has any suggestions? The only one I had was, you know, maybe a contract, which doesn't mean he exactly purchased it, but at least it provides us with documentation of the exact boat and size that he's got a contract to purchase.
So the permit, the motion goes forward, the permit would be approved contingent upon the applicant demonstrating some purchase of the vessel.
That you would approve the issuance of the permit today, but we would withhold actual issuance of the document, finally authorizing the approval until we receive the type of documentation you think would be appropriate to suggest that he is buying that vessel. I mean, we had suggested actual bill of sale, but contract would, I think, be getting close to that.
I don't know if Mr. Schick would consider amending his motion to include the requirement that there be at least a contract to purchase the vessel prior to construction. I think that would be what I would
accept that amendment.
Mr. Schick accepts the amendment to the motion, and it was, so Mr. Palmer, did you say, you accept that as well?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we have a modified motion.
One further point for discussion, if I could, before we make the...
Sure.
I think there are three things we ought to consider a little bit here. We're in the Pagan River, limited water view, water source, watershed. What kind of precedent this will set? I mean, if we, Live and Goods, build this boathouse, and then the river in this area would, who else would build one or build something of this size? If the river gets filled up with structures like this, I would suggest it would not, in this a beautiful area. I think it would be in some way damaging to the look and feel of the area, which you've heard the protestants talk about. Second point is, how large is large enough? As I drove in today, I talked to a fellow Eastern Shoreman. We don't have many boathouses on the shore, but he has five boats. You know, I mean, he has boats for every purpose. If he had to have a boat, a shed or barn for each of his boats, it would be a massive structure. So my point being there at the end of the day is, how much is, when does it go from being personal to almost virtually commercial, like a boatyard? And I think we're, as Mr. Plumley points out, pretty close there to becoming like a marina almost. And then Finally, I think that, as Mr. Plumlee also mentioned, nearby property owners are part of our code. They don't have to be adjacent. And I don't think it's property value so much. These folks have bought these lots, apparently, as far as I can tell, because of, they wanted to be there as they saw what was there before, what was there when they purchased. And so maybe there is some value that goes up or down, but they protested today because they don't want to see something of such magnitude. And so I think these are three points that we ought to consider a little bit before we allow such a large structure in the, on this limited body of water of the Pagan River. So I would vote against this motion.
Mr. Fox and then Mr. Shea.
I concur with the sentiments that were just expressed. I mean, I believe that there does need to be some type of limits given, but unfortunately, those limits aren't given to us. We don't have, I don't think we have the legal ability to pick and choose. As long as it fits within the parameters given to us by the state and by the federal government, you know, not infringing on, you know, traffic, not, you know, those types of things. As long as it fits all of the regulations that we have, I don't think that we have the right to deny an application simply because we feel that, you know, he has more boats than he should have, or wants to cover more boats than others do. I wouldn't, as a marina owner, I would love a law saying that all boats over 30 feet have to be kept in a marina. I mean, but unfortunately, there, you know, for marina owners, there isn't that law. I don't foresee one coming around. But that is something that maybe, you know, the state legislature needs to look at is because we've approved bigger private facilities than this in the past against maybe our own wishes as far as what we personally feel is correct. But I think we have permitted marinas, slips that have 5 and 6 slips and even more at private docks. And maybe this is something that the state needs to look into, but
if not the state, certainly the locality.
Yes, definitely locality, and this is definitely a county issue. Some counties don't allow boat covered boat slips at all. So that's that is a local, you know, issue when it comes to some of those items. Some places don't allow docks without a house. So it is a local question.
Mr. Fox,
I agree somewhat with what Mr. Plumlee said about that. Some stage here, there's a when you're right on the cusp. I believe in looking at the photographs here, the earlier decision by the commission was on the cusp, and that's the one that where there might have been an issue. With the proposed application, I don't think the view is going to change materially to the neighbors, and so. I guess you could say I don't think it's going to be any worse than it already is. Which is, I
tend to agree with you.
So I would tend to vote in favor of it.
Mr. Roberts. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for indulging me a second bite at the apple. I would suggest that the commission does have the ability to draw the line on projects based on scale, the way the code's set up. But we have the ability to do so on a case-by-case basis, taking into consideration all the private benefits, the public detriments, and balancing those issues out. And again, I come back to the fact that in this case, I would concur that this is on the cusp in terms of size. I mean, if an applicant wanted to cover 5 boats at this location, I think that would be excessive. But I think, given what's there, as Mr. Fox has just pointed out, the marginal impact to the view shed, I think, is going to be negligible because it does fall within the scope of what's already been impacted. So I think there is a private benefit. I think we've addressed the fact that the additional impact on the view shed is going to be fairly minimal.
Thank you. Mr. Sessions?
I'm going to just echo what Mr. Robbins and Schick said. I think that if you start looking at the impact on view and aesthetics, that needs to be at a local level. Either a county or municipality level, when you're looking at a watershed and what it's going to grow up to be. I've seen that in a lot of municipalities where they have work studies along that watershed. And think that needs to be at a local level.
Thank you. Any further comments from the commission members? Everyone's clear on the motion. The motion is to approve, subject to the presentation of a contract for the purchase of the appropriate vessel. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 1. Thank you.